All we need is a little understanding. Walk a mile in their shoes. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride called life. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride. This wild ride called life.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Truths We Hide podcast. We have a repeat guest and I'm so excited, Tyler Ornstein of Tyler's Coffee. And if you haven't already, go back to episode 102 to take a listen to it, because we're going to dive into some other topics today. But what I want to do is I want to introduce him back. Thank you, Tyler, for being here. Let's do a recap of how you got started in your coffee business.
Yeah, sure. So started door to door on my bicycle at 14 years old. And, I always had a passion for selling, and I really like selling, and sold some things before, but coffee and my father kind of clicked. That's kind of how we built our rapport with each other. And one day he just got a lot of, heartburn, I guess is the best way to say it. And couldn't drink coffee anymore. So being the scientist he is, he actually figured out a way when the tannins bloom in the roasting process, and by not blooming the tannins and lipids in the roasting process, we were able to yield a neutral pH without having any, sacrifice of the flavor and the notes of the coffee. And so what I did at 14 years old is he gave me these perk packs, is what we call them. They're silver perk packs. And I'd go around the neighborhood and I'd just hand them out as samples. And I would only, just get a name and a number, and started calling people, seeing how they liked the coffee. Majority of them said, I haven't tried it yet, or who is this, or why are you calling, or no, we're not interested, or stop calling. But I'll never forget this very sweet old lady. When I called her, I said, yeah, this is Tyler. I'm the one that dropped off the samples of the coffee. What do you think? What do you think about it? And she said, you know what? That actually was really, really good coffee, and it didn't hurt my stomach. And, she was the one that was obviously understanding of what we were trying to accomplish here. And she said, well, so where do I get it? And at the time I was like, from me, I'm the one. And she's like, okay, how much is it? And I was like, $1. I didn't know. I was a 14 year old kid. What did I know about actually, making business? But what it did do is it solidified that this actually would be a viable product in the marketplace if we just stuck to it. And I did. I stuck to it, and I stuck to it, and I stuck to it, and I stuck to it. And 15 years later, we have such a demand and not enough supply, and it's obviously a problem, but people say it's a good problem to have. But long story short, we're trying to shrink the gap here.
I love that story. It's possible, you guys, to start young and learn and grow and just take it day by day to start your own business. So what we were talking a little bit before, but I want the listeners and those that are watching to know what has been your biggest challenges? And one of the things was the supply, right? You can't get enough of it. So correct. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when you create a product that is revolutionary and people start drinking it and enjoying it, and we have an 80% retention rate on our customer base, so that means that anyone that drinks our coffee can pretty much drink coffee again. So that's a huge win for them. And they say, well, I want more. And so when you start compiling this, and you get bigger and bigger and bigger, and your name gets out there more and more and more, and you start building and building and building. At one point you have a teeter totter, but it's not down. What it is it's up. So say for example, your growth trend is like this. It's like a stock, and then all of a sudden you start getting bumps. And as these bumps go up, you go through the roof. Well, you're used to purchasing X amount. And so as the demand increases, you have to buy more product. Well, the problem is the dollars and the demand kind of have to equal out. And the other thing is that COVID really screwed us over, because we're used to have a 48-hour turnaround from Long Beach, California, to get into the Arizona roastery. But now it's a 2-week hold. And long story short, I mean, it's just lead times.
So how has your customers been with that? Are they patient and they understand, or some of them?
Majority are patient. The newbies obviously think we're a scam. We're not. I promise you, what you see behind me is not fake.
Go ahead.
But no, I mean, for the most part, people understand that back orders are happening all over the country, and demand is increasing. And, I obviously am, in the same boat as everyone else, but I hope to God very, very soon, very soon, we can start opening up. I know Texas has now opened up. I know Florida has now opened up. I know Mississippi has now opened up. I know a couple other states have opened up. We need to open up. The economy needs to get back and running. And if we don't do that, then what we're doing is we're watching a train wreck.
Right. Where has been your biggest growth? Is it through people ordering through Amazon, or straight from your website, or how what have you seen?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I've actually never been asked that. I would say probably we have a lot of sales on Amazon for sure. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of retail sales. I mean, it's a good question. I'm not trying to slight it. What I am just trying to say is that you kind of just get in a mindset of, those are the orders we need to fulfill. Mm-hmm. You don't really worry about who's buying. You worry about who's fulfilling and are we fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. And when you run a business like this, whether it's through Amazon or through your website, are they both going straight to, what you say, Arizona? Or is it different places based off of where
they're going? Oh, no. No. We ship all over the country. Oh, mm-hmm. Actually, all over the world. But... Mm-hmm. Majority of it, I mean, 95, 97, somewhere around there, percent of inventory sold is in the States.
Mm-hmm. After you gave your first samples and the lady was like, I want more, as you got older, and because this coffee wasn't really heard of, did you get any negative feedback from people who were like, how do you make acid-free coffee? And
So I started in 2004. Mm-hmm. And majority of people said, we always wanted to create the highest quality product known to the coffee industry. And it comes with a cost. And people didn't really respect the cost. So it was a very, very, very hard road to walk. A lot of no's, a lot of doors shut in my face, a lot of, are you crazy? Why would you charge that much money for coffee? And around 2016 is when things started to get kind of understandable. The big tech companies started investing into Whole Foods and organics and non-GMOs, and the list goes on, fair trade, so on and so forth. And so there was a lot of kind of stigma behind higher quality product, and what it, not stigma, value behind higher quality product and stigma behind lower quality product. So 2016 is where we really started seeing the growth from stagnation to improvement. But now it's full on. I mean, people spend 3 to 4 times their dollar at a Whole Foods because they know that they're getting a higher quality product for their body. And people are now realizing that if they don't take care of their body, nothing else matters. So, you know, this is my scale, and obviously there's people out there that would disagree with me or people that would agree with me. I've lived by it and it's been very good to me. Health, number one. Under no circumstances is anything above health, because if you don't have your health, you have nothing. Then financial wealth. Usually people say love. I'm sorry, it's not me. Financial wealth, and then love, and then family. So I put money above everything. And the reason why is it's not because I'm a greedy bastard and I want money and I'm a capitalist. No, what it is it's freedom. And people need to discern from, there's a bad stigma in America for some reason of, if you're wealthy, then you're an asshole and you just care about yourself. Well, really, it's not true. If you're wealthy, then you have the ability to help other people and you have the ability to support other things and you have the ability to enjoy your life to the way that you want. You can cater and tailor the way your life is going to roll out. Someone that's a 9-to-5er, highly respect those people, but they have a set budget and they have to live by it. Us entrepreneurs, we don't have a set budget, but we also could lose everything the next day. So it's a very risk-taking environment, and you know, that's just who I am.
Yeah. So has there been days with being an entrepreneur in the coffee business where you are just so overwhelmed that you're just like, I can't do this anymore?
Oh yeah, every day, every single day.
So what keeps you to, why do you keep showing up? What is it about?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with, if I don't show up, then I know that there's, you know, we have over 1 million people now that drink our coffee and they don't get to drink our coffee. Seriously, it's like something that I really respect is we've created a product that actually is a helping healthy product. Mm-hmm. So we really need to give back to society as a whole. And my gift to society is people that can drink coffee again, that have stomach related issues. And that's what keeps me going. I mean, the video testimonials, the emails, the hey, you saved my life practically because I can drink coffee again. That's what really does keep me going. The monetary aspect, I'm doing well, but I probably could be doing more, you know, bringing in more revenue somewhere else. But really and truly, I care more about our customers than the dollars come. I care more about my customers.
No, that's important. And yes, coffee cans. I mean, you are saving people's lives. They want to drink coffee, but they can't because it hurts.
Yeah, so it's funny because I have a lot of, you know, right now we're about 6,000 bags back ordered just on one SKU. And we have coffee coming, but it's just, yeah, it's whole boop, 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 boop. Crazy, like buy, sell, lead times, COVID. It's just a whole mess of things. But anyway, the point is to me, I care more about getting the customer their coffee than getting the, because the dollars come. Again, I'm repeating myself, but I just wanted to say to your listeners, if you're wanting to start a business, and I, before COVID, I used to fly around and I used to be, you know, on panels and I used to speak and, you know, I so on and so forth, right? But I would always say that if you're going to start a business, have one thing in common, have one thing that's your cornerstone that you don't weigh from. And it's one word. And listen, I'm telling you from experience, if you guys will hear my advice, you will be successful. and that is help. H-E-L-P. If you can help, you will be successful. Period. End of story. I don't care what it is. And then you can monetize it. And that's how you become successful. So when there's a problem and you have a solution, quote unquote, help, then you can monetize that solution, make money.
Interesting. I like that. Cause I was going to ask you, what would you tell someone who wants to be an entrepreneur? Cause
help
I think
a problem.
No, I love that. There are quite a few people out there that think that it's easy. I want to be an entrepreneur. They use that word like it's, you know, I don't know. Like it's just an easy word to use. But the behind the scenes that happens with that is what makes
a
difference.
It's insane.
Right?
It's insane.
It's not as easy. So I think help is good. It's great. What, patience maybe? Grace? I don't know.
I think you have to kind of add all these things in, like you're baking a cake or making a meal. But yeah, you need to have patience to an extent. If you have too much patience, then you're going to get rolled over.
Yeah,
you have to be courteous to an extent. But if you're too courteous and give away the farm, then you're not going to have anything to make. Yeah, I love the hey Tyler, can I get a sample? And I go, absolutely not. And then they look at me and they're like, wow, he's kind of a, you know, mean person. Sorry.
Yeah.
I've got thousands of customers that are willing to pay money.
Yeah.
You're nothing special.
Yeah. Well, you can't give samples to everybody, right? I mean, that where does it
nope.
Where's the line?
I mean, you have to give samples when you start out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when you start a business and people say, why should I care about you? Well, please take my product. So S&D, right? Supply and demand. If you have a supply and not a demand, you give that out for free. Hmm. Once you build enough demand and not enough supply, you think Apple gives away computers for free? No. Think Tesla gives Teslas away for free? No. I mean, do you think Microsoft gives away computers for free? No, because they have a demand.
Mm-hmm.
They have built a demand. But when they were starting, they had to give out, you know, their OS for free and say, please try it. Or they had to, you know, Tesla had to get a lot of money together so that he could build a prototype so that he could sell on that prototype. I mean, these are things that when you're a game changer in the industry, you have to give away something to get something. But at the point where you actually are having too much demand and not enough supply, I mean, you giving it away is detrimental.
Right. No, that makes sense. So where do you see the future of Tyler's Coffee?
Growth.
Just keep growing.
Just keep up with demand. Just try to keep up with demand.
Is there like this, is there a place where you would love to have your coffee sold
yes.
at? Yeah.
Yes. There's three places. One, Sprouts. If you're listening, please contact us because we're trying to get in contact with you. Number two is Whole Foods. If you're listening, same. And number three is Publix. We think Publix would be a great fit for Tyler's.
That's awesome. It's going to happen because you're putting it out into the universe. How long is the process? How long has it been since you tried to get in there? Is it that? What's the word?
COVID really, really screwed over a lot of small businesses. But prior to COVID, I think, so in 2019, right, we were like, oh, 2020 is the year. We're going to get in these big shops and, you know, we're going to get in these big companies. And then everyone shut down. Everyone started working from home. Emails were the only way to contact. Talk about, I mean, I get 300 emails, you know, a day. So imagine trying to get through to me. I try to get back to all my emails, but I mean, sometimes you just can't. So I don't know. I just, I don't know. It's just going to be, they're going to see it everywhere and then go, well, we need this product. And I think that's the only way that we're really going to get in there. Natural Grocers has been phenomenal to us. We love Natural Grocers. And hopefully Natural Grocers, when we build them, I mean, we have built enough market share. We're in every store, but hopefully Whole Foods and Sprouts will, especially Sprouts. Now, the funny thing is Sprouts is in my backyard. It's literally up the street by an hour. I'm in Tucson, they're in Phoenix. And it's like, you know, come on, guys. This is a no-brainer.
So but close.
We'll see. Yeah.
Well, I hope you get it. You will get it. You will. It's just this COVID thing needs to just go away.
Yes, I agree.
So, let's see. What would you tell someone who wants to go into the coffee business? I mean, there are a lot out there.
Good luck.
But, yeah.
Good luck. I mean, if you're going to go into the coffee business, good luck. We have a unique niche. I would not be in this business if we didn't have the world's first and only. We are in competition with one of the biggest corporations in the world, Starbucks. We're not in competition with, because it's not even we're not even on the radar screen.
Yeah.
I mean, I see Starbucks as a huge and beautiful model that I truly respect, and Howard Schultz does an amazing job. One day I hope to meet him just to shake his hand and congratulate him, because I don't see him as a competition, because he's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're I don't even know, like $80 billion. It doesn't matter. They've got more real estate than they're, it's stupid. The point is that's the juggernaut of our industry. But for you to get into the coffee business is a waste of your time and money, because all you're going to be doing is spinning your wheels trying to sell something that everyone else is trying to sell. So now it's just a price game.
Yeah.
And when you get into a price game, the only thing you can do is lose margin. So it's, I mean, again, we cracked the code with coffee, but we did not, I would not be sitting here talking to you if we did not. It was very, very in depth. It was a long process. It had a lot of problems. And, for us to actually R&D this was a good $2 to $3 million in outlay over, you know, 5 years.
Wow. Well, I appreciate the honesty and the feedback, because yeah, there's still people out there like, I'm gonna do coffee too. I think maybe that it would be beneficial if they work in their small hometown, maybe. And not trying to be on a larger scale, because I think there is a lot out there, and it's hard. So
no, I mean, I think a coffee shop is a viable business model.
Mm-hmm.
To start your own roastery and make your own coffee is, you got a lot of money.
Yeah,
that's what you have. You have a lot of money.
Right. Well, I can't wait to see you get into Sprouts and Whole Foods and Publix.
Yeah.
So you'll have to keep us updated on that. But for everybody else, like he said, you can go to Amazon. You can go to tylerscoffee.com. Did I get that correct?
Coffees. Tylerscoffees with an S.com. Yeah.
Yes, tylerscoffees.com. Try it out.
Or acid-free coffees with an S.com. Or just Google Tyler's Coffee.
Yeah, really. All you have to do is Google it, because it'll come up. I've tried it. So just as easy as that. So I wish you all the best. I can't wait to see it all over the place. So thank you so much for coming back on. I really appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the True Sweet High podcast, created and founded by your host, Annette, the founder of a wild ride call life. Also, a big thank you to all of our sponsors for each and every episode that is aired. We have so much support from them and all of our listeners. You can find more information at www.awildridecalllife.com.